Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. I cannot get enough of that song, and I want to dig into that with our guest today. That song actually is the theme song for our rotation of the Hastings Ministerial Association, and we are very thrilled today to have on the phone with us Pastor Brent Compline. He is with the New Life Evangelical Free Church in Hastings, and we want to get caught up with him and see how things are going as he continues to minister during this very strange COVID time period. Brent, how have you been?
Pretty good. It's been a wild last few months. I think everybody can agree. It was not a year we expected, and we've just all had to adapt and change and figure out what new life looked like for about 3 months there, and now things are kind of changing again, and it's stretching everyone's change tolerance. That's the word I like to use for it.
It's stretching everyone's change tolerance. No kidding. I've never heard it explained like that, but it certainly is. And it's been a really tough time, I would assume, for people, parishioners and congregation members of different faiths. And it also has been a tough time, I bet, if you don't have faith to get through all this time, because it really, I know personally, it's been something that I've been able to rely on. And, I love the song Shout to the Lord, because that typically is how I enjoy praising the Lord, is loudly. But I know that, yes, we don't have an opportunity to do that as a group.
Yep.
So how have you developed your new way of ministering at New Life Evangelical Free Church?
You know, when everything shut down and we were asked to, requested to not meet as churches and everything changed in March, we did like almost every church. We started a virtual online video service that we offered, and we started doing a lot more phone calls and just following up with people. One of the things that I was really struck by as this got started is the amount of confusion and fear. And it was something new for a lot of folks, and especially I think a younger generation. It's something that struck me is that when we think of pandemics, we often, and crises like this, sometimes here in our peaceful town that we all enjoy, sometimes we can think of that as being something that's really far away. And here it is in our own backyard, and I think that was shocking for some folks to realize that life, the upheaval of life, was something that got people's attention. And then the idea of it being dangerous to possibly be outside or to go places, that was a new experience for a lot of folks who are used to being extremely comfortable. And that's something that I think is I love our country and our where we live. But so many of us just go through life and feel so comfortable. I think this season has really brought out an opportunity for people to ask deeper questions and to be able to think about maybe their own mortality and to consider how unstable the world can suddenly feel. And that just doesn't relate to just the virus, but everything that's been happening with the unrest and everything that's been going on. And it's been a time where people have asked questions and asked really difficult questions. And honestly, that's been real hard. It's been real fun, though, because that's what I'm doing this ministry, serving and shepherding a local church for, because I want people to ask those hard questions, because I think the Christian faith answers those questions with a life-giving, good and a faithful answer, something that gives you solid footing for life and something that you can rely on. And so I've enjoyed that time, although it's been difficult.
You know, I think you bring up a good point. I think you can't get to asking those difficult questions if you don't go deep. And certainly without a church to be attending, you know, you're not just checking a box off, I went to church this week. If you're going to if you're going to still keep engaged in your faith, you have to do it yourself, which means I think you do need to go really deep. So that's a hidden blessing, isn't it? A collateral blessing, as my friend Mitch Carmody always says, that has come out of this for you, is you're able to really dig deep with faith with some of your congregation. What are some of the things that people are asking?
Yeah, I think the feeling, it's a little hard sometimes to put a word to it, but I think sometimes the thing that keeps coming up over and over again is, what do I do with the feeling of instability or of the unknown? You know, many, you go back to March and April, many of us didn't know how this is going to pan out. And thankfully, the case numbers are down with the virus and everything. So that's good in our state. But the fear of the unknown, we're so used to planning. And I think we've sort of trained ourselves with the technology we have and with the ability to have the financial stability. And our culture is really built on being able to map out where we're going and what we're doing, planning vacations, doing whatever. And I think the throwing in of the instability was really causing people issues. It's been interesting to talk to people about dealing with the emotional side. And we all know that emotional health has been a really big thing in our culture in the last few years, just more awareness of dealing with emotional trauma and emotional health. And it's been great to sit down and talk with people on the phone, on Zoom, and then now that we're able to meet in person, you know, with social distance or whatever, to be able to look people in the eye or to be able to just speak to them some words of encouragement in the times of all of that upheaval and unknown, and to be able to push people to trust in the Lord fully, because they'll say that they do, but then these are those moments, and this is something that's really important to me. I think the moments of trial and difficulty and suffering and pain and unknown, these are the things that they're actually the tools that God uses to refine and test our trust. Because in times of ease, your trust is you know, could be paper thin and you don't really know it.
Right. It's easy to come by.
When difficulty comes, that's when it's really tested.
So that has been a blessing as well. And have people understood when you say that to them? Have they realized that?
Yeah, we spent most of the shutdown time. I was preaching through First Peter, and we were talking about difficulty and pain and suffering and just what is it like to live in a place and a time where things aren't stable. It was making the scriptures come alive for our congregation and for me personally to grapple with a deepening trust in God in the midst of a difficult time, and revealing what areas of my own life and my own heart that were not surrendered to Him or really under the lordship of Jesus. And so that's been a huge boon, you know, just in terms of spiritual growth for folks, and it's made us have a more vibrant faith. And that's what I've loved about this time, and you've seen that in crises across history, that there's a revival or renewal of the church can come out of times of intense difficulty, and that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. So are you able to get your point across then? You said you're doing some virtual things.
Yeah, well, we've now reopened to have our Sunday, I tend not to use the term reopen, actually. We're regathering. Our church has always been open, you know, in terms of being a church still. But we are gathering again in person with, you know, a preparedness plan put in place to have all the safety measures that we need to have. But we are having in-person gatherings on Sunday mornings at 9:30 again. And that's been wonderful to have the face-to-face interactions restored, and doing it safely again, but having those interactions restored has been so helpful. I can tell you something from the last 3 or 4 months that has just been renewed for me is the importance of flesh and blood, face-to-face, human-to-human interaction.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're living in such a digital world where we keep adding new digital technology to our lives, more screens, more smart technologies, and it's reducing the face-to-face human interaction. And with COVID, we all sort of got what we wished for, which is a fully digital life. And honestly, I didn't like it. I got tired of Zoom, and I got tired of doing virtual conversations. And going back to having the face-to-face interactions with real people was so life-giving, and it just makes me realize how important for relationships, analog, I like to call them analog relationships instead of digital relationships, are so important and integral to our health as human beings, but also as Christians, to have brothers and sisters in the church that you're interacting with in face-to-face context is pivotal for us.
And, you know, people probably didn't even know that. They couldn't put their finger on why they did feel unrest.
Yeah.
And perhaps it was, like you said, when you finally are able to get together with people, you're like, oh, yeah, that's what I was feeling. That's what I was missing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was so concerned through the last few months, and even now, because there's some folks who aren't coming on Sundays, and that's totally fine. I'm not pushing anybody to do something they're not comfortable with. But I know that there's been a huge spike in loneliness and depression and isolation for people. And we all really got a taste of what it means to be isolated, and more than a taste, honestly. I mean, months of separation from people we love and care about. And, you know, I dealt with this with people who had family members in nursing homes who couldn't go visit. They couldn't go visit them, or, you know, I have colleagues who have some people in hospice who are dying, who have to go through all kinds of hoops and protocols to be able to go and be with somebody during their last days, and rightly so, because we want to be safe. But it has made the care, the pastoral care of being face-to-face with people, has been really challenging the last few months, and that's weighed on me and my colleagues. I know I've had conversations with other pastors, and some people think, well, we're not meeting in person, maybe it's a little easier because pastors can just work from home. And it's way harder. I mean, honestly, I think most of the colleagues I know, and me included, are pretty tired after this season. So if you're listening out there and you want to give your pastor a call and encourage them, please do that, because we need to hear some encouragement at this point. I think a lot of us pastors are tired after all these things that have been going on.
Well, you do sort of feel helpless when you're trying to really be there as a pastor, I would assume, or even as a friend, when you have to do that over the phone. There is nothing like, you know, just being with somebody in person when they're in a time of crises. So I'm sure that has been very tough. When you opened up your space again, your worship space, what does it look like? What are some of the precautions that you've taken?
Yep, we have certain protocols for all of our volunteers. Anybody who's in close proximity to guests are going to be wearing a mask at this point, and we're not requiring masks for everybody, but we're encouraging them during our greeting and singing times especially, and we have protocols for when someone shows up to volunteer, and we make sure that they're not sick, and we've removed passing plates and anything that's high touch where somebody's going to be touching the same thing as another person. And then we've shortened our service a little bit so people are inside less, and we make sure all households are spaced 6 feet apart in the seating so that nobody's sitting next to each other that's not in the same household. And then we fellowship outside on our front patio of our church facility before and after the service. So we're outdoors in the open air as much as possible, and that's a huge safety measure where you're not enclosed in a small space with people for very long. So it's things like that. We've got a 3 or 4 page preparedness plan, but all our volunteers are trained with it, and then we just gave our congregation a heads up on a few changes that would be made, and the response has been great. I would encourage everybody out there. I did this for our folks. I tried to help everybody see ahead of time that we're going to take the necessary precautions. You need to evaluate your own risk tolerance, whether you want to come, because no plan is perfect. But we didn't want to argue about whether we did this or whether we did that. So I encourage everybody to approach it with a lot of graciousness and understanding and patience and awareness of the needs of others, because this is a moment where the last thing that non-believers need to see is the churches that are arguing amongst themselves. And I just want to see a gracious and peaceful and positive and good response to this situation and how we come out of it, so that it's fruitful for people to see really a graciousness in the church.
Well, you said you've been doing some virtual things while your church was not open to the public.
Yeah.
And is that going to continue?
We have, we had we called them connect groups. We want to make sure people weren't getting lonely, you know, so we had once or twice a week, we would have a Zoom meeting where people could jump on, whether it was a men's group or a women's group or something like that. And they would just be able to share updates and talk with each other and pray. And those have continued. They've shifted to be in person, but we'll often offer a Zoom call-in option. So if you don't want to come, you can still call in. So those are ways that we're still making things available for people who aren't comfortable to come in person yet. Yeah, so we utilized a lot of video conferencing and then doing video services and video studies and whatever we were able to pull off with our technology. And it went really well, but I could tell that people were ready to try the some of us were ready to try the in-person things whenever we could do it safely. And so that's been an important shift for us.
So why don't you tell people again where your church is located, Pastor Brent, and what time your worship service is, please?
Yes, we meet Sundays at 9:30 a.m., and we are located north of Hastings, between Hastings and Cottage Grove, right on 61. So we're just south of the River Oaks Golf Course, and if you're heading north from Hastings, we'd be just after the Highway 95. Light, you would be on the left side. So we'd love to have guests join us, and we've, like, again, we've got our protocols in place, and we've had a number of guests join us in the last couple weeks, and it's been wonderful to have our services again. So 9:30 Sundays.
You know, I think that's one of the blessings also, is we've had an opportunity to attend church in many places, you know, because we were able to do it virtually. So that's great that people are coming to see you in person as well.
Yep. We do have live stream of our services, so if people don't come, they can watch it online. That's on our Facebook page. So thank you.
Well, we appreciate that. Pastor Brent Compline, he's with New Life Evangelical Free Church, and they are open for business, 9:30 a.m. worship services on Sundays. Thank you so much, Pastor Brent. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.